Blog Talk Radio.
Again, and if your name is on the guest list, we'll always take you higher, because, well, I'm General Gonzo S. Patton, and my balls were meant to take you higher. You can join me, you can hate me, you can be part of the show, because it'll be a blast. Oh, but due to an ongoing investigation, the government's alphabet agencies have demanded that I not talk about blasts, info, and how to make homemade improvised explosives. We're going to take a break for the next few weeks and not talk about the Religion of Peace, also known as the Inbred Savage Club for Men. We're going to talk about the upcoming election, or translated into Japanese, the 2016 erection. So let's just get on with the show. Lately, we've had a lot of talk about Donald Trump and his misogynistic nature and his alleged groping of women. That sounds like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, because she's had her share of groping too. And watch for the National Enquirer tomorrow and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, let's set all that aside, because not one of the thing in misogynistic or groping has a damn thing to do with national security. Not one bit. But if we look at Hillary Clinton, everything that bitch does is a violation of national security. She is a walking, talking violation of national security. She is inherently evil. She treats her security people like dirt. And she sells the minerals from the Bundys and the other folks to the Russians, because she wants them off the land just for that. And then she turns around, and anybody who doesn't disagree with her, she just has them whacked. And her killer and fixer, we'll be talking about that too. Tomorrow's National Enquirer. And before you go, it's the National Enquirer, just remember, when they publish stuff like this, John Edwards, Love Child, that sort of stuff, they're prepared to get sued for hundreds of millions of dollars. And they don't lose. So it Hickory Dickory Dock. Hillary Clinton can. Yeah, well, you know how I was going to finish that. I don't want to upset any of my first-time listeners with my aggressive nature, because we're here to talk about individual resistance to tyranny. Who wants to be a good citizen with a bad government? What is a good citizen anyway? Tyrants describe good citizens as loyal subjects who obey the law, every law, without question. A tyrant's good citizen works hard, pays their taxes, even if there's not much left over to feed the kids. Such a good citizen never complains, no matter how stupid or crude a government official treats him or her. Give a tyrant enough such good citizens, and he will rule forever, fat and happy, while his subjects sweat, suffer, toil, and die in needless wars, to make sure the tyrant keeps living the good life. Tyrants and their lackeys spend a great deal of time and effort trying to convince the people they rule that a moral person must be a good citizen. Back in the Dark Ages, they called it the divine right of kings. Nowadays, they call it patriotic duty or civic responsibility or the right thing to do. But it all adds up to the argument that any decent, honorable person must put the government first. I don't think so. And I suspect that a great deal of you folks listening don't think so either. We're not putting all the interests of all the people ahead of our own. We're not putting the interests of the man in charge above our own personal interests. Barack Obama can kiss my honky ass. Bad citizens live better lives. And I got news for you. I've lived a better life. I've lived a much less stressful life since I've become a bad citizen the last couple decades. A true constitutional republic has free citizens, not good citizens. When people wake up and realize they don't enjoy all the freedom they have a right to, the first thing they can do is stop being good citizens. Any tyrant who has a country full of bad citizens got a problem. A tyrant has all sorts of ways to deal with a rebel, a criminal, a jungle fighter, an insurgent, or a political activist. Those people stand out. They're easily identified, almost like they have signs hung around their necks. One finds such people in dark alleys, basements, forests, jungles, and jails. But how does a tyrant tell a bad citizen from a good citizen? Bad citizens, after all, are not bad people. They too want to eat, so they keep on working at the factory or the office, or planting a potato crop, or playing the stock market, or creating a new business, or doing whatever else it takes to make a living. What bad citizens won't do is help government make their lives miserable. They continually try to maximize their own personal freedom. They ignore, evade, or break any bad laws to get that freedom. yet they do so in ways that allow them to remain invisible to the tyrants who want only good citizens living in the land. Bad citizens file their income tax returns, but cheat while minimizing the risks of getting caught. A bad citizen turns the heat up when the government says the heat should be turned down. Bad citizens lose their census forms or fill them out incorrectly. They arm themselves for self-defense with the kinds of weapons they want, not what politicians say they can have. Bad citizens don't spend all their time trying to make the work of the government more difficult, but they don't sacrifice their own pleasures or happiness just because some political leader tells them the sacrifices are in the common good. Up yours, Hillary. Bad citizens can be patriots as well as good neighbors. Just because someone doesn't love bad politicians and would-be tyrants doesn't mean he doesn't love his country, nor does it mean he's a bad neighbor. People who love freedom love the land, the nation, and the neighborhood they live in. They'll be the first to fight criminals, terrorists, or invading armies. They will always be among the first to cooperate with friends and neighbors in achieving mutually desired goals. They will be tolerant, but not nosy, always willing to allow others to exercise their freedom in all things. They will be the best neighbors. Too many bad citizens make bad government impossible. The one big reason why the Soviet Union never worked very well and eventually collapsed under the weight of massive economic failures was that too many Soviet citizens realized they were never going to get a fair share out of socialism. They stopped being good citizens of a bad government. They started looking out for themselves rather than the good of the state. Smart citizens don't get caught being bad. They keep what they do a secret. They don't brag to their friends and neighbors about what bad citizens they are. They don't tell the mayor or county commissioner how proud they are to be bad citizens. They know that to remain free, they must be invisible as far as the government officials are concerned. The more bad citizens there are, the harder it is for people who steal freedom to stay in power. The tyrant's problem is that he is always outnumbered. He has guns and the thugs to use them. He can build jails, concentration camps, forced labor detention centers, FEMA camps, call them what you want. He has snitches and spies and informants and rats and the ability to tap our phone lines and our internet and search anywhere the filthy rat bastard chooses. But there are things he can't do, like put everybody in jail. He has to have people to till the fields, drive the trucks, work in the factories, staff the bureaucracy and the enforcement agencies. So he has to convince most of the people that life isn't all that bad and there is hope for a better future. There's that hope word again. The tyrant will go after the visible troublemakers, the guys who loudly announce they will no longer pay taxes, those who defy the law in front of witnesses then hole up in an armed compound with a few friends and wait for government enforcers to come and get them. Or the ones who fight government from the hills. Those kinds of people are easy to identify and kill or carry off to prisons. With no newspapers daring to tell the truth about the tyrant, with nobody willing to talk out loud, the tyrant will count on good citizens to continue to act like good citizens once they see what the tyrant can do to bad citizens he can identify. Good citizens make tyrants possible. Nazi Germany wasn't filled with people who wanted to throw Jews and gypsies into the gas chambers, make slaves of Eastern Europeans, or rule the world from Berlin. Nazi Germany was filled with good citizens who wanted a political leader they could believe in. In the beginning, even the Jews thought if they could just be better citizens, obeying every law and order, they could survive what was coming. Hitler did everything he could to make all good German citizens think they were better off with him in charge, even if they did have to give up a few freedoms. Hitler was more frightened that all those Germans might stop being good citizens than he was of the Allied armies. He catered to the citizens. He entertained them. He promised them better things, and most Germans kept being good citizens right up to the bitter end. Cuba, North Korea, China, Vietnam, Iran, and Iraq, all filled with good citizens, hoping that being good citizens, things will get better. But they just keep getting worse. Look at America. It's filled with good citizens. Good citizens that keep hoping that if they just are better citizens, things will get better. And they're not. Every election cycle, we get a shit sandwich. First, we got Bob Dole. Bill Clinton. Yeah. Really? Give me a break. Then what do we get? More turd sandwiches trotted our direction. We never get the candidates that are of the people's will because the fix is always in. It was obvious in Obama's second election that the fix was in. I'm 53 years old. And have been a political junkie since I was old enough to sit on the couch and watch election returns. And guess what? I have never seen a presidential election called as early as Obama's second term was called. When that was called, I knew the fix was in. And guess what? When Hillary won the nomination and Trump got the nomination, I knew the fix was in. And if you don't believe that the fix is in, you're a special kind of stupid. Look around you at what's going on. The Democrats and the Republicans are the flip side of the same coin. They believe the same thing. They do the same thing. Obama has been so far out of line with the Constitution in his 8 years of tyranny. It's amazing. And what has the GOP done about it? Nada, zip, nothing. They haven't cut the financial purse strings, which they could do. They haven't impeached him, which they could do. They have not done anything that is within the constitutional authority that they possess to rein in the tyrant. Why? Because they agree with what he is doing. And it matters not whether they are the minority in power or the majority in power. What matters to them is that they stay in power. So all that they care about is power. And that power comes from running roughshod over you and I. And it's up to us to keep America as free as it still is. In this country, people who were not being allowed the freedom they demanded and deserved have repeatedly turned into bad citizens. Every time enough Americans joined in such an invisible insurgency, and freedom won the day. The best historical example of bad citizens serving the cause of freedom was the Underground Railroad, which helped thousands of fugitive slaves make a run to freedom. The Underground Railroad began when a small number of individuals decided that slavery was so wrong, they were willing to commit a felony to help slaves escape their masters. The Underground Railroad was a totally chaotic system composed of hundreds of individuals, each acting on their own, cooperating only with the others that they knew and trusted, and almost always with no supervision and no leadership. The chaotic nature of the system was what made it so difficult for law enforcement officers to deal with. Arresting one individual created a small hole in a network that was quickly filled by others. Most of those who participated in the endeavor were never identified. The Underground Railroad is the best example of individual resistance to tyranny. Next show is scheduled for Thursday, and we're going to talk about more examples of individual resistance to tyranny. Now that we have laid the groundwork for it and for why, I want you to pay attention to tomorrow's National Enquirer. Pay attention to this final debate. And I want you to just pay attention, period. Alonzo Bowden has a one-hour comedy special on Netflix called Is Anybody Paying Attention? It would behoove you to listen to it, because I don't think anybody's paying attention, and it makes a very good point. Listen to the lyrics of the music we're going to close this show with, and pay attention. God bless you all. God bless America. Sticking my neck out to teach you about individual resistance to tyranny. Become an individual resistor to tyranny. Let me stick my neck out. I got a big ass shoulders and a big ass neck. And I'm telling you, This Ain't My America.
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, cause I'm doing alright. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white. Country ain't supposed to be like that.